Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Bergministeriet. My name is, as always, Robin Olsen, talking to you from a moderate sunny apartment at Södermalm in Stockholm. And I'm joined here today by the fabulous actor, porn star and artist, Frankie Valenti, a.k.a. Johnny Hazard.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good.
What are you doing in Sweden?
I was in Oslo for a screening of my new movie, Tiger Orange. And I've never met these lovely gentlemen, so I thought since I was in the neighborhood,
you would stop by?
Yeah, Oslo was kind of quiet, so I was kind of looking for a, you know, a nice urban environment.
You know, because we have audience today with two friends of mine and friends, new acquaintances of yours.
New friends, yeah.
Thomas Brand and Logan Rogue. There you go. They're busy with their iPhones.
Yeah, he's hooking up my phone on a SIM card that I got earlier.
Ah, that's good.
Yeah.
So what will you be using your Swedish SIM card for?
Well, I have some business that I have to get sorted out in the States before I go back.
Ah.
So I'm going to be calling and then, you know, social media. I got to Instagram all my shit.
Mm. Do you use Grindr and stuff?
No.
Okay.
No.
What is your take on like gay social media?
Gay social, as far as Grindr and Scruff goes.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a double edged sword. You know, I think that on the positive notes, it allows people to network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bottom line. But then on the other side of the spectrum, you know, the way that we meet people is a little bit more. It's one dimensional.
Mm.
You know, you see a thumbnail, and 95% of the time that thumbnail is inaccurate.
Yeah. And like you choose the part of your body that's most.
Right. Like, from like 10 years ago that
yeah.
you look, when you look the best. And you know, it prevents people from kind of interacting more, but on the same token, it kind of forces people to be more interacted. You know, it's kind of a weird dichotomy.
And it's weird because you rarely have, like, conversations on gay social media. It's like
right.
small talk lingo. Hi, what's up?
Yeah, yeah.
Good, you.
And even the spelling is, like, shorthanded.
Yeah, so it will never be like, I'm really shitty. My dog just died.
Oh, tell me about that, yeah.
Yeah, I have a really bad stomach today. How are you?
Right, exactly.
Which, would you prefer that? Like, more evolved talking?
Actually, as I've gotten older, I have. You know, maybe about 3-4 years ago, you know, I didn't want to hear about your day.
No.
You know, and I just kind of was there for, you know, sex or hooking up. And, you know, I may go on there for that purpose, but, you know, now it's, I need to kind of have more than just a pretty thumbnail.
Yeah. Which most people do while leaving their phones and actually meeting.
Right, yeah, yeah. And actually what I do most of the time is I prefer to meet in public with no strings attached.
Mm, you do. I've always wondered about that. Like, I've never done that. I've hooked up online, but then
I pity
fuck people when I was single.
I don't do that anymore. Yeah, but, you know, doing that takes a considerable amount of time, and it's an investment. And if do I really want to like, it's like a day, you know, because you got to meet, and then what if you don't like them? You just wasted an entire afternoon.
Yeah.
And my time lately is really valuable.
I'm glad that I know who I'm coming home to nowadays.
Yeah, so, I bet.
So you were just in Norway where they showed your new movie, Tiger Orange.
Tiger Orange, yeah.
At the Skeive Dager, the Norwegian.
Yeah, I've been trying to pronounce that all fucking week, and it's just not coming out. So
that's like the crooked days, somewhat.
Is that what it means? You know, I never asked him what it meant.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
So congratulations on the movie.
Yeah, thank you. It's making the rounds. This was our first. It's not our first international screening, but it's the first one that I was able to attend to.
How was that?
It was great. It's a real honor. It's a real privilege. It's kind of validating. You know, this was good enough to be accepted into a film festival across the Atlantic Ocean.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
How did it feel to sit in the audience and looking at yourself on the screen?
This is like the fifth time I've seen it. Mm-hmm. We opened in Los Angeles at the Ford Amphitheater, which is a massive outdoor venue. The screen is like four or five stories. So that was a little nerve-wracking.
I can imagine.
And that was the first time I saw the movie.
Okay. What? You didn't see...
I did not, because I wanted my first time to be something grand.
But what if you wouldn't have liked it?
Well, you know, honestly, if it got accepted into Outfest Los Angeles, it had to have been good.
Yeah.
I couldn't have been that bad.
Okay.
So I was kind of going on the opinion of the film festival. If they liked it, I had to have been... okay in it.
But you've seen it five times now. I know when I see myself like on like moving material, and I see it several times, you start seeing new things and you're like, fuck, I should have done that.
I know. Every time I've seen it, there is something else that I wish I would have done differently, or it's like, oh, god damn it. Now it's getting to the point where I just want to do it all over again.
Really?
Yeah.
But still, I think it will turn that you will start to be like, oh, but this is what it was, and this is good. And
Yeah. I mean, there's two sides to it. One side is like, it's a great product. It was done well by everybody on the team. It's being well received by everyone that's watching it. You know, reviewers and fans and, you know, jurors on film festival panels. But then, you know, there's the other side where it's, you know what you did and you know what you should have done.
Yeah.
And you're looking at it every single time.
Because you have like two images. You have what you see on the big screen, and also you have what you have in your head, what you did and everything around.
Exactly.
And what you brought, like, oh, fuck, I didn't have the right emotion there. I could have done it
better. Yep, now I know. And now I want to do more just because... I have a working knowledge of the process.
Mm. So can you tell us about, what's the movie about?
It's a gay drama. It's about two gay brothers who try to reconnect after their father dies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was set in a very central California town, so it was very picturesque, very quiet. My character's name is Todd.
Mm-hmm.
He's the younger of the two brothers.
Kind of the wild one, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at me. I'm pretty much going to be typecast as that for a while, which I'm fine with. And there's Chet, the older brother, who stayed behind to take care of our ailing father.
Mm.
And we had a hardware store, and Chet stayed behind to run the store. I fall on some hard times. I go back home to try and, like, you know, find myself, when in reality, I just needed somewhere to stay.
Okay.
And then, you know, we just kind of have this dynamic of two brothers who didn't really know each other, and there was some resentments that kind of played out. But the cool thing is that, you know, most gay films are either, one, a coming out story, or two, they're about AIDS.
Yeah.
So we were all just really happy and excited to make a movie that had nothing to do with any of those things.
Yeah, because I thought about that. It's about like being brothers and family and reconnecting.
Something real that everyone, no matter what their sexuality, can relate to.
So being that, like, the wild kid and having these like hidden wounds inside, that's much of your character. Mm-hmm. Can you relate to that?
Yes. I was actually quite surprised when I read the script at the similarities.
Wait, sorry, you have to be quiet.
Sorry.
Let's take that question once again. So, being the wild kid, like, let's take it again. Your character, it's kind of like the wild child, like inner wounds and stuff like that. Could you relate to that character?
Yeah, I was really quite surprised when I read the script at the similarities between myself and the character that I was about to play. So, I got really lucky. I didn't have a, you know, I didn't need to really act.
You know? Of course you did. I mean,
yeah, I did, but you know, there it wasn't some huge step away from, you know, my waking life.
No, you weren't like a woman in the 1800s.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, does this, because what I've seen like online and stuff, because I haven't seen the full movie, but I've seen the trailer and stuff. You're a really good actor, so congratulations
on that. Thank you.
But do you think that, having been in porn, do you think that people have certain expectations on your acting ability?
Totally. I think most people, just because of the track record of people in my industry trying to do anything else but porn, has not done so well.
No.
So I think most people had this expectation of watching a train wreck.
Did you say sexpectation?
No, but that's a really good word. I think people were really pleasantly surprised at my performance. There's two reviewers in Hollywood, one being Variety Magazine, the other being The Hollywood Reporter, who are known for not holding back and being brutally honest. And both of them gave me, you know, glowing reviews. The Variety, which is the one that we were really worried about, you know, was quite favorable to me. Not so much to the film itself, but, you know, he quoted, you know, I'm going to quote him, and he said, and he can act. So that was...
How does that feel?
That felt really good. I mean, that was a really big compliment from, you know, the highest order.
Was this something you took in consideration before you accepted the part, that you would be scrutinized and looked upon and thought of compared to, like, other... like porn actors trying to get into.
To be honest, I've been asked that question, and I honestly and from the bottom of my heart, I had no expectations. I didn't think it was going to go as far as it has gone. I honestly thought it was going to be something, a project that these two guys wanted to do for themselves, and that it would just kind of stay where it was, and it would not be submitted to all these things. I hadn't, you know, I didn't expect that I was going to be viewed by, you know, the world now in a whole different light.
So did you have expectations from yourself? Did you know that you can act?
I did a small part in a TV series about maybe 8 years ago. So I know that I have the ability to memorize lines. I know I have the ability to know my mark. I know I have the ability to not be afraid of the camera and not freeze up. So, you know, those little things that an actor needs to kind of do the job, I knew I had. But that part was so, you know, just really easy to do. There was nothing involved in it. It was just a matter of memorizing lines and being able to do it again and again and again.
But was that the vampires?
Yeah, the lair.
Yeah.
The lair.
I haven't seen anything from that, but that was kind of sexual in a way.
It was almost soft porn. Okay. It was a spin-off from Dante's Cove.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, that one did really well.
Yeah.
Because it was just eye candy. You know, it was gay vampires set in Hawaii. So it was all very tropical, very lush, very, you know, a lot of skin, a lot of muscle.
Like, I love naked men and I love vampires. I should actually check it
out. A lot of people like naked men and vampires and palm trees and oceans. So it all worked really, really well.
But speaking of soft porn, I just on a side note, that's one of the weirdest things I know. Like, soft porn... That's like, why don't you just have sex?
No, I think soft porn is its own category.
But I think everyone who watches soft porn is like trying to see some penis. Like,
I think that's the draw.
I remember like being a kid, and I was like, we saw these things, regular porn being edited, and you couldn't really see what happened.
You're
down
kind of
there.
Looking down below the frame to, yes, to see like, if anything else is there. Yeah,
yeah, you're kind of, your head is slowly tilting down to see some penis.
Yeah,
yeah, but I didn't get to do that. But while filming, could you use anything that you learned from being in porn in your mainstream stuff?
Pretty much the same thing, you know, not being afraid of the camera, being aware of where your lighting is, being aware of where the camera is, where you're going to end up, you know, just those little tiny mechanical things that anybody that's doing any kind of acting work, whether it be porn or non-porn, needs to know and needs to master in order to get the job done.
So, are you still doing porn?
I still do porn, and you know, I've never made that. You know, I had a conversation with my editor because I'm going to be doing some more writing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, there's been a lot of write-ups that's calling you former porn star, ex-porn star. You know, what are you saying to these people? I'm like, I'm not saying anything to these people. They're saying that. You know, I've never made the official announcement that I'm retiring. I've never told any of these interviews that, you know, I am done doing porn.
They are kind of labeling you as an ex-porn star because you're going into
mainstream. Because it just looks better on paper, you know? I mean, ex-porn star turned mainstream actor sounds and looks a lot better than Frankie Valenti still doing porn actor, trying to cross over. You know, it's too many words. It doesn't look right. But to answer your question, in the States, I can file as an entertainer. And that allows me to write off my entire financial year. I mean, everything from batteries to my cell phone to my car. I mean, everything falls into a category as an entertainer. So in order to do that, I have to have income coming from an entertainment source, whether that be a mainstream production company or, you know, a porn company. It just needs to come from somewhere. And until I make more money from acting, in order to write off my life and have this huge financial, you know, gift of deduction, it's got to come from porn until I can get more money from acting.
But it sounds like you're doing it just for the money right now, like just to do
the porn.
Yeah.
Oh, the money's shit.
Okay.
The money's shit. I'm doing it because, you know, I have a good accountant and we can arrange the numbers. So, you know, I'm not doing it to save money. I'm doing it so I can write off my financial year, and it's better for my taxes.
Okay. So when did you, because it feels like, because you said you're a writer, you do, you also have a clothing line.
Yep, yep.
And now you're in mainstream acting. You've released a music video a few
years ago.
Was
years ago. Years ago. I feel like I was a child when that came out.
That's the problem with like YouTube and stuff. Things linger.
Yeah, it will never go away, even though I absolutely hate and loathe that video. The song is great. You know, we had a really good time doing that. The video, I cringe when I think about it.
But so it feels like you're trying out all of these new things.
Yeah, you know, they just keep presenting themselves. I keep getting these opportunities. You know, I'm an artist, and you know, I'm not really limited to one medium. So it's a good thing because I can do all these certain, you know, these different projects. But then on the same note, it's hard to kind of get anything done really, because I'm doing so many things and I can't make up my mind.
Have you always been like that?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I spend half the year on the West Coast and half the year on the East Coast. I have a place on both coasts. So that just, it illustrates my life perfectly. I'm always moving. I'm always doing different things.
I think a lot of people dream about that, like having two places and one with different climates and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How is that to live that lifestyle?
It's great. You know, I spent the week in Oslo, and you know, one of the questions I was asked is, you know, where do you live? And so I had to go into this whole, you know, monologue about how I live my life, and their eyes light up. And it's after this week I realized, like, you know, this is pretty cool. I have a good life. I do enjoy it. It makes having relationships, both intimate and platonic, difficult. Because it's like you're just getting to know someone, and it's like, oh, okay, I'll see you in 6 months.
But then, are you single, by the way?
I am.
So if you would meet someone, would you ever like just stay in one place?
Yes. I met a man last summer in Provincetown, my East Coast residence, and he just, something about him, he turned my world upside down, and I would have definitely changed my life for him.
But what happened?
Timing.
Timing.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are other reasons. Believe me, I've thought of all of them, but just for argument's sake and to keep my mind level, I just call it timing.
I mean,
otherwise, I start like going in that.
Yeah, you don't want to.
I start analyzing, and and then it just gets really sloppy, and it just gives me a really bad headache. So
I get it. Yeah. Would you like to quit porn? Like eventually?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's nothing in it for me anymore. The money is shit. If I made now what I made 8 years ago, absolutely, I'd still do it. The money was good.
Okay,
I bought a condo. I bought a truck. You know, I had a great life.
What's up with that? Why is it
people aren't paying for it anymore?
Because it's so easy to like produce and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was doing it, Channel One was the biggest distributor and producer of gay porn in the United States, probably in the world at that time. And that's because if you wanted to get gay porn, you had to buy it from one of four companies. Mm. They had a hold on the entire market. And then, you know, the internet came along and now everyone can do it. Everyone can access it. And it's just different genre. I mean, it's so saturated.
Mm. But a lot of porn actors, like they create their own label and do stuff like that.
I thought about doing that because, you know, it's such a logical move. And most guys, you know, I mean, it's like with any kind of entertainment field, once you kind of live out your time in front of the camera, you usually move behind to do production. Mm. I just find the industry to be very shallow. I have no interest in it. To make money, you have to just make it your life. And I have too many interests that I love much more and I want to spend my time doing than having to like deal with a bunch of 20-something guys who are usually, you know, flakes. And I don't want to be desensitized to sex. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I see a lot of guys that are in production, and it's what they do all day long, is just sex, 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 sex.
It feels like you're very frank with what you think about the industry. Will that burn bridges for you? Because I think when I hear, I've interviewed a lot of porn stars, and I think many of them are like, no, it's great, la, 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 I love it, and they're not.
It must have been their first year or like their first day on the set.
Okay.
Because I think people that would listen to this that are in the industry, that are production or on the production side, would agree totally that is completely shallow. Mm. I mean, people always tell me, "Oh, I love your work." Well, I didn't fucking do anything. Mm. You know, I didn't do anything. You like what the editors piece together. Mm. I just showed up.
But I mean, there's still talent having good sex on.
There's good talent being able to come on demand.
But also see like. Even if you don't enjoy it, like making people believe that you enjoy it.
I suppose, you're right.
I mean, because you see there's some crappy porn out there.
No, you're right, you're right. And I guess I'm kind of downplaying my, you know, my ability a little bit. I've been doing it for, you know, 12 years, so I'm just over it. I've outgrown it.
Yeah, I
completely
get that. I get that. But I'm a big fan of porn bloopers. Like shit going wrong on. Have you seen that? Like this.
No
guy,
pun intended.
Well, pun intended. Do you have a story?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
I have a couple stories. The first story that comes to mind, and it didn't happen to me personally, but it's by far the funniest and the most disgusting.
I'm psyched now.
One of you know. I worked as an exclusive for Shishi LaRue for pretty much, you know, the majority of my entire porn career. And our head camera guy, who's also part owner, told me a story when he first had the business of this kid that, you know, was his first day and he didn't really understand the whole process of, you know, having an enema.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave him the thing and they sent him in the bathroom. And then they didn't tell him that you had to expel the water. So he kept it in him.
No.
And Stephen was below him with the camera doing, you know, the obligatory underneath shot. And I think you can use your imagination as to what happened next.
Oh my God.
Horrible, right?
They should have released that video.
Oh,
I would have been on it.
That's a very, very slim market for that kind of thing.
I've seen this video where a guy, when he does like the cum shot, he comes on the cameraman's eye. It's like, that's my favorite porn blooper.
Or there are the ones that, and I was guilty of this, you know, you have you're getting fucked, it's doggy style, and the camera is on the guy at the top doing it. And of course, you know, it's all about being vocal and making a lot of noise. There would be so many times where, you know, I would just be going, picking my nails, or I'm on the phone, or I'm having a conversation with, you know, the lighting guy in front of me, and the camera pans over, and then there's me, you know,
picking your nails,
picking my nails.
Yeah, I think people do that, like in their beds at home as well. Sometimes it's like, yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, what's the best and the worst thing with having sex on camera?
Well, the best thing was the money. I'm not going to lie. It was fucking ridiculous money. It was so great for so long. And then I guess another good thing about it is that was it, actually. That's the only reason why I did it. I didn't like, it's not, I didn't not like being watched. You know, I didn't get off on it. So I didn't do it because I was an exhibitionist. I didn't do it because I love sex. I did it because I got paid a huge amount of money.
Mm.
The worst thing about having sex on camera is, you know, in the beginning, you're a little self-conscious, you know, especially if you're the bottom, and that's completely understandable.
Mm.
But, you know, after you've done it for so long and your name and your face become synonymous with online sex, people treat you differently.
In what way?
Well, they assume that you'll just have sex with anyone at any time and that you live, breathe, and, you know, consume sex all day long, whether you're in front of the camera or not. You know, and they treat you like that. You know, and everything that they mention has got some sexual innuendo, or, you know, the physical boundaries between you and them are completely dissolved. You know, you don't walk up to a stranger and, you know, rub your hand down their chest when you're speaking to them. You don't put your arm around them. You don't touch, you know, their waist. And that's what people do. You know, I'll be talking to people, you know, and they'll just pet me like a goat at a petting zoo. And it's like, I know why they do it. So to a degree, I don't fault them because they see me doing all these things on screen in the privacy of their own home. So it's a little obscured, so I don't fault them that much. But then I say, you know, I'm regardless of what you saw me do, I'm still a person you've never met before. You know, you're not going to do that to an actor that you would see in a soap opera. You wouldn't walk up to him and, you know, fondle him or, you know, whatever. So why would you do that to me? So that's the worst thing.
So you do understand why they do it, but are you left?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
With a feeling afterwards, like when they...
Sometimes, I mean, I've gotten really good at getting used to it. So, you know, I always make a point to make it known to them that that was not okay. And I'll step back or I won't, you know, I'll just subtly let them know that that wasn't the best thing to do. And especially when I do appearances or signings as Johnny Hazard, there are some times where I just, after like a couple of hours, I just feel really, I don't want to say dirty because that's a really strong word. I just feel really tired and spent.
Spent is a good word.
Because, you know, it's an energy. You know, they're not looking at you like, oh, I really admire your talent and, you know, you were so good as an artist or you're so good at your craft. They're looking at you because they want to suck your dick or something along those lines. And it wears on you. After 10 years of doing that all the time, it wears on you.
There must have been a point, though, there where you thought that was the way it was supposed to be when you just started.
Yeah, I mean, the attention was good. You know, don't get me wrong. I think a lot of us that do it in the beginning like the attention. It's validating, especially if you grew up not being validated and not being attractive. You know, you spent your formative years and your teenage years really hating your body and hating the way you looked, and now you have this huge new world in front of you that is completely the opposite. So you have this newfound self-esteem and validation, and that's great. It's healing. It's wonderful. But then you get filled up by it. You don't need it anymore. You don't want it. It's not validating. It's now turned into something almost sinister and kind of dirty, especially by a huge group of the quote-unquote fans. They're kind of gross. And anyone will tell you that. You know, I don't feel bad about saying that because that is a fact. Whether you're a producer, an actor, or a fan yourself, you know that some of those fans are gross.
Okay. But is
everyone's gross.
Everyone's gross in one sense. But you spoke about the body image and stuff. How was it for you growing up? Because
I was miserable.
Miserable, really?
Miserable, yeah. You know, I'm not going to lie. I still have my days where I don't feel that great, especially when you have something like that.
Thomas.
Yeah, all the time. No, I was really thin. I couldn't put on weight. I had bad acne. I was not athletic. I grew up in a house full of, you know, hardcore Italian athletes. So it was constantly in my face of what I was not good at. And I hated the way I looked. Absolutely hated it.
So getting into porn, was that, that must have been what you said, like...
I honestly believe, and I kind of realized this about 5 years ago, that probably the main reason why porn was put into my life was to kind of heal that little boy that spent so much time being so miserable and so sad. It was just a way to kind of heal him.
Oh my God, that sad boy, I think, because I think there's not just gay people, but I think a lot of people have that.
Yeah.
Well, most people. And that's what I do as well. I mean, I think 80 or 90% of my life choices when it comes to job, career, and where I am in my life has been around like healing that little boy.
Yeah, of course. I can totally relate. But, you know, saying that, you know, once that little boy was healed, it's like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore because I've had enough. I'm good. I'm set. And I still had to do it. It changed.
I have situations where it feels like I'm just like thrown back, that I become like 8 again with that the chubby little redhead who was like too screamy and spoke like a girl. Like when I go back to Gothenburg, my hometown, and stuff like that, and I meet someone from my past, I instantly become that 8-year-old with like bad self-esteem and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have those situations?
I do. Especially when I'm going to use him as an example again. You know, growing up, I wanted to be taller. I wanted to be bigger. And, you know, every now and then, if I'm having like a really bad day, especially if I had to work, and I was on set with a guy that was what I wanted to be like when I was younger, it just took me back. It
triggered something.
Yeah. And like I got emotional and I felt myself being really self-conscious and feeling really unattractive. And it was all in my own head. But it's human nature. I think everyone has that and everyone does go through that. It just gets better. And hopefully with age and with experience, you learn to just be happy with yourself and content. And I think as gay males, we are really bad at that.
Yeah.
Because we constantly have, and women too, we constantly have this image of what we want to be. And we're constantly striving for that, even though like our genetics will not allow for that to happen.
Exactly.
We're still fighting that.
So are you in, at the age where you're thinking like, God, I'm getting older. This will not last forever.
Knock on wood. I'm in that transition where I'm not as focused on what I don't have and what I want to be. And I'm getting better. I'm not great. I'm getting better at liking what I'm growing into and liking what I look like and being happy with what I have to work with, especially when you see someone who doesn't have a leg or someone who has like, you know, just in the last couple of years, I look at someone with like a physical disability and I'm like, you know what? You need to shut the fuck up because that could be you.
Yeah.
No matter what you look like or what you don't like about yourself, you have got it pretty good.
But it's hard to, when you have those days when you just feel shitty, it's hard to, because you live your own reality. Mm-hmm. You're always your worst enemy.
We're human.
Yeah. So.
It's just a matter of being aware and just trying to be grateful.
When I was 10, I did like comedy at my school, and it was in the school gymnasium, and I've never done comedy before, and I was singing and acting, and I was completely scared before, and I was like, am I gonna be good? I had no idea, and then I was a fucking hit. I was hilarious and everyone laughed. That was one of the defining moments in my life. I was like, okay, I can be the funny one.
I see. Yeah.
And that kind of shaped me all through like my teenage years, and
kind of gave you that confidence to keep going forward.
Yeah. And also gave me a shield in many ways to like, okay, I can always like go to the comic. I can always be the funny one. Do you remember any defining moments where you're like, okay, that you learned something about yourself and that defined you?
Yeah. And it was, I think it was the moment when I met Boy George and I became his inspiration for his then really short-lived clothing line. That was like, wow, you know, I guess you really are kind of pretty. If, you know, Boy George is, you know, pulling you down from the box at Splash in New York City because he wants to talk to you to talk about developing a clothing line.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know, it was that moment where, okay, yeah, I guess I am kind of good looking. And then, you know, having those two reviews, you know, jumping forward, you know, 10 years with Tiger Orange, having those two reviews by people who don't know me and would have no hesitation saying that I sucked.
Yeah.
And they didn't, you know, that's like, wow, I guess I really do have something here that I should probably pursue.
So what's the plan now?
The plan is, I left LA in late May to go to Provincetown for the summer. And that's when the movie started to kind of hit the film festival circuit. So all summer it's been making these rounds. We're still not done traveling yet. I'm going to go back to LA in December and start playing this Hollywood game. You know, I mean, everyone that wants to act has got to get an agent and, you know, do whatever it is they do. I'm hoping that having this film behind me is going to kind of put me a little bit above, you know, the thousands of people that are trying to act.
I also think that your background as a porn performer, I think that will also...
I do too.
Elevate you because you will be something more than just the guy
it's
in
a
the
hook.
Crowd. Yeah.
It's a hook. And I think 5 years ago, it would have hurt me. I think that society and, you know, as a culture are just getting a little less shocked by the subject of gay sex, especially gay porn in general. I think that...
And outside of America, I think, definitely.
Yeah, I think I'm at a good time. I think I got really lucky with this project. I'm happy that it's doing well. It's only going to serve to help me. And I think you're right. I think it is going to be the kind of thing where I was like, ooh, he used to do gay porn.
Yeah.
We got to see this. I got to have him in my movie.
Yes. And also you get press. I mean, that's always interesting for
producers. Huge. Yes. The reason why they asked me to do this project, the writer and the director, is because they knew that they were going to have to raise money via Kickstarter. And they knew that they needed to have someone with a name to kind of get people to be like, ooh, wow, I got to see that, or I'm really intrigued. So that's why they asked me to do it. So, you know, finally, you know, it's my porn background has, you know, really served me well.
Yeah, that's great. And also, can you actually find it? So if you're not at a film festival and you want to watch it, is there any way?
Unfortunately not. The way this thing works is that it does the film festival circuit. And what the ideal situation is someone who distributes films to independent film houses around the world or the nation or wherever buys it.
Mm.
So after that happens and that kind of goes through its theatrical release, then it's able to be downloaded via iTunes or Netflix.
Mm.
And if no one buys this movie, which I really hope, you know, it does not happen, it will go straight to, you know, VOD, video on demand. Okay. So in due time, it will be available. It's just kind of getting out there right now and playing the film festivals. And, you know, we're hoping that someone purchases the distribution rights.
It's really cool with Netflix, though, because they have a really large gay LGBT film archive in ways. I think that's really cool of them.
It's a great time for me to be doing this. Just with social media and the way that media is distributed, and just, you know, the whole porn thing, it's a really good time for this to be going on, and I just hope that the momentum continues.
Of course it will.
Yeah,
just one pause. I've seen on social media that you're very close to your mother.
Yeah, yeah.
Has it always been like that?
No. She told me when I didn't come out to her, she actually opened the door on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was not ready for that. It was a really big thing for her. She was really upset. She looked at me and said, "You are my son. You are not gay. This is just a phase. I know you."
So what happened? I opened the door. What do you mean?
Like literally opened the door.
When you were
having sex. I was 17. The guy was 25. I met him on a chat line. And I had the door barricaded because I wasn't allowed to have a lock on my door because I was kind of a bad kid. So she opened it and she hit the barricade and she's like, "What's going on in there?" So I threw my clothes on and, you know, I opened the door and I said, "You know, what do you want?" She goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "We're watching TV." And she goes, "The TV's off." And I was like, and she goes, "Why are you not wearing your own clothes?" Because I put on his clothes instead of my clothes.
Oh my God.
And he was a 6'2", you know, 26-year-old. And I was this little 17-year-old. So I looked like I had a dress on. I was in such a tizzy trying to get my fucking clothes on. And she gave me this look, and I'll never forget it. It was like just severe disappointment and disgust and just all of those things that when you're a kid, your parents cannot say a word and just kill you.
Mm.
So I ran away from home.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that night I went to my girlfriend's house, and I woke up next morning to my mother having a conversation with her mother because her mother had two siblings that were gay. So her mother was trying to tell my mom, "It's not a big deal. You know, he can be okay, whatever. It took her about a year to finally come around because then my dad died and she basically had no one in her life anymore that she was close to. And she kept asking me all these questions about my life, and I didn't tell her anything because she didn't want to hear about it. You know, me being gay is now my life. And if you don't accept that part, if you're in denial about that part, then you're not going to hear about what's going on in my life. And then one day we're in the kitchen. She goes, "Why don't you tell me anything?" And I'm like, "Because remember, this is just a phase. You don't want to hear about it. You're in denial, you know." And that was a turning point. Okay. So after that point, her and I are. She knows about everything. She knows about the porn. She's met my bosses. She's been to the studios. She has a box of all of my magazine covers, my interviews. You know, she brings them out to show her friends.
That's cool.
She's very, very proud of her gay porn star son. Yeah.
That's a really good mother.
I'm beyond lucky. She is an amazing woman, and I can honestly say there's nothing she doesn't know about me. Things that I'm not going to tell you.
Why?
Because there are people in the world that don't know some things, and I'd like to keep it that way as long as I can. But mom knows, and I'll tell you afterwards if you really want to know.
But tell me about your clothing line.
It's called Spit Shine. I have always done something with clothes. For as far back as I can remember, I used to tear up my school clothes, cut holes, draw patches. I mean, anything that I could like do to alter them, I did. And there was one point before I kind of got a bit left of center that my mother and I would do craft shows. I would draw.
Really?
Yeah, she would sew and make these pillow-like things, and I would take denim jackets and I would draw Disney characters on them, and we would sell them at craft shows. So I've always done something.
What Disney characters?
Donald the Duck, Goofy, anything that I could like look at, I would just draw like verbatim on clothing. And then as I got older, I started to dabble in more of like dyeing and sewing and embellishing, and I love to do it. It makes me happy. Unfortunately, the market for that sort of handmade thing, I'm never really going to get what I need to get from a retailer selling wholesale. So, I do it just to kind of make a little bit of money on the side, and I sell, one-off items on my site. And I have a collection of screen-printed shirts that, are mass-produced that I can, bang out and sell. It's kind of hard to do when I travel so much because I do the shipping and I make them and I do everything. So when I'm out, for a month, like this time, it's like, things go on hold.
Yeah.
But it's there. And, once things come out and I put them up, there's like three or four of them and then they're gone forever. So, I'm not getting rich off of it. I make a little bit of good money. But the most important thing for me is that it makes me happy. Like, I have to create. If I'm not creating something, I get really kind of internally flustered.
So it has nothing to do with... Do you watch RuPaul's Drag Race?
Never seen it.
Oh, damn. Because RuPaul is all about, like, merchandise, merch, get your merch.
Yeah.
Like, after the show, the queens are supposed to, like, have their lines.
Well, I just saw on Facebook, I think, yesterday, that... three of the girls are now doing an American Apparel campaign.
Yes.
That's fucking amazing. I am so happy to see that and a little bit jealous.
But it's huge now. We had two of them on Detox.
They're a movement. They are a movement. Back in the day when clubs had money, I used to travel around the country making appearances, and I made good money doing it. Now it's the Drag Race girls, and they're making a shitload of money. I don't know where these clubs are getting their money for them, but they're making a good amount of money. So I'm really happy for them, but then I'm just kind of like, oh, fucking bitches, you stole my work. Yeah.
So you're single, but we're gonna finish off soon, so don't. Feel stressed.
No, they're actually really great questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm kind of surprised. not that I doubted you in any way, but how it goes.
I've been around.
I see.
But been doing porn and also traveling so much and having the two apartment. Do you find love hard?
I was actually talking about this with Logan when we were driving up from the bus station. Being so mobile and not being still long enough to cultivate relationships makes it hard. Also, my background, people are still intimidated because they still have this idea of what a porn star is. And I can't fault them for that because the majority of us are like that.
Okay.
I'm also really picky. As I get older, I'm not going to settle. And if it's not all there, why am I going to pursue it?
But do you ever see, because if you would be like an amateur psychoanalyst. You could be like, okay, because you've created a difficult life for yourself.
I have.
Meeting someone. You have like two homes.
Right.
You travel a lot. You've done porn. And also like you're changing, like you're kind of changing like a snake changing your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a reason behind that? Why you haven't found love? Are you afraid of it? Maybe.
Maybe I'm a, you know, I have a really, really good friend in Boston who is a psychologist, and she loves to tell me that I have intimacy issues. So I feel like, yes, there is, and that's, you know, we can go really deep into that and like kind of dissect my relationship with my father and mother and like really get to the bottom of that. But we won't. But yes, I feel like there is a very small part of me that maybe fears a genuine intimacy. So that's why I've created this life where I'm always running.
Mm.
So
I've done that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm aware of it. And I, you know, it's not like I am closed off to it. I'm quite open to, you know, finding someone in something. You know, my heart is there.
Mm. So where do you see yourself in the future?
Oh gosh. You know, I really hope that this movie takes off. I'm really curious and anxious to go back to LA because I've lived in LA on and off for the last 10 years and I have everyone I know is in entertainment. So I've watched what these people go through to get where they want to go. And it's a process. And I don't know if I'm going to really hate that process or if I'm going to get lucky and, you know, get that one part. That's all you need is that one break, that one part where you meet that one person who just knows that one guy, and then you're set. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to have to spend my days going on auditions. I don't know if I'm going to hate it. I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it. I don't know.
I think it's like one piece talent, one piece luck, and one piece perseverance.
Absolutely. I think it's more about talent and luck, just being at the right place at the right time.
But yeah, I disagree. I think luck is a little bit, I think it has a huge part because there's so many talented people out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm all for talent. I wish it was like all the talented people would get, like, I mean, you understand, like, they would get, because they deserve it. But I also think luck is, like, as you said,
being... It's huge. You know, this porn and this movie they're so alike for me in the way that I didn't pursue any of them.
Mm.
They both fell on my lap. I didn't have any expectations to do either of them. And they both, well, the movie so far, you know, not so much, but the porn especially, just blew up overnight.
But so both of them were things that fell in your lap.
Yeah.
But both were things that you actually thought, yeah, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do with my life now. Even if you didn't, there wasn't an active choice when it came to you.
Well, the porn thing, yeah. I mean, it just started, you know, I was so young and I just kind of got swept up in it because I had nothing else to do with my life. I was not in school. I was waiting tables. So I had nothing else to do. And it just kind of, it's almost like a car came by. I got in it and I just never got out.
Mm.
I just never got out because I never had a chance to kind of stop the car and say, okay, what am I going to do now? Because it just kept going and going and going. And then with this movie, I got an email out of the blue from these two guys that said, hey, we're doing this thing. And I said, hey, great, let's do it. Let's see what happens. And then, you know, I'm in fucking Oslo for a screening. So,
which is fucking expensive.
I can't imagine. I'm so glad I got out of there because I was literally going broke just eating the sandwiches.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Two pints of beer, just some shit beer at a just normal pub was $23 for two pints. I still kind of
I get provoked when I think about it. like I hate Norwegians because of the fucking money that it's so expensive.
Staggering.
Do you know that there's rivalry between Sweden and Norway? Kind of like Canada and the States. Like, we badmouth the Norwegians.
I see.
And they badmouth us.
Well, they had nothing but good things to say about you guys.
Really?
Yeah, the ones I spoke to.
Okay, we badmouth them. Whoops! No, but I'm actually like quarter Norwegian. So I remember when Swedes went to Norway to shop like really inexpensive. Yeah, so that kind of changed.
Yeah, I would say so.
you talked before that you had kind of had your heart broken last year, like heartache. Do you have any advice for people who had their heart broken?
Oh gosh, just know that it just gets better. It does. You know, you just kind of have to. Even though believe me, there were days where, you know, I knew that there was an end to it, but you just couldn't see it, nor could you feel it, but. You know, of course it gets better. You know, you just got to push through. The only way to get to the other side is through.
And also I think practical things, like if you're depressed or feeling sad, like taking another route to your job, like doing something new, like not sticking in your own routine.
You know, this may sound cliche, but just get to the gym. It's a chemical reaction. It really does make a difference. It doesn't last, but you know, it does take you out of that for a bit and just kind of gets your head into a much clearer, healthier state.
Where can people follow you on social media?
This is a tricky thing. I was thinking about it yesterday. My Instagram is JohnnyHazard1.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm doing this transition thing, so I don't know what I'm going to do with that. But just for the time being, Instagram is JohnnyHazard1, and you know, Facebook again, it's that tricky thing because I have a fan page for Johnny Hazard, and then I have my regular Frankie Valenti page, and I'm noticing that my friend requests for Frankie are just blowing up with, you know, people that I don't know. So for now, just follow me everywhere. You know, Twitter, Johnny Hazard, Instagram, Johnny Hazard 1, Facebook, Johnny Hazard. And at some point, I have to kind of reorganize all of this. But for now, that's where it is.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It was so nice meeting you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. I like talking about things when I have to think about them. So they were great questions. Thank you.
Thank you. So, and thank you, listeners out there. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Olsson Robin. And if you want to, you can also follow Bögministeriet at Bogministeriet. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and all of those fucking media. So join us there. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.